Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome into the Bulls Talk podcast, presented by Coors Light. Mark Schanowski joined by Kendall Gill. And our special guest tonight is our new Bulls beat reporter, Kelly Krull. Yes, say hi to the folks, Kelly. How's
Yay.
It going?
Hello, everyone. Hello.
Well, this was a quick transition for you. You thought you were going to be covering the Cubs in the World Series. That didn't quite work out the way we all planned.
Weren't we having a parade like 2 years ago at this time of the year? Yeah. No.
So you made the quick transition after the ugly wild card defeat and quickly jumped on the Bulls beat. What's your initial impressions of the young group of players you're working with?
Well, first and foremost, as you know, as a reporter, when you hop in there, you want to have great personalities and guys who will be engaging with you. And I have to say, this has been an extremely respectful group to be around, and they always come over and meet the media with smiles and are great with that. So from that perspective, it's been a really wonderful group to jump on board with, and I feel like it's a great time because I think a lot of our fans are kind of learning about this team, and I'm learning about this team along with them. But the one thing I have been impressed with is it's been a challenging year from the very beginning. They knew they weren't going to have Lauri Markkanen on the floor with them. And then it was injury after injury after injury. They've got Chris Dunn still on the sidelines, and Denzel Valentine just keeps hitting hurdle after hurdle. And I have been impressed that they still go out every night and fight, and they are engaged in practices, and they're loud and boisterous every time we walk into the practice facility. And I think it would be easy just to lay over right about now and kind of say, well, here's another, I don't want to bring up the T word, but we can go ahead and just do that for now because we've got all these things working against us. And they haven't done that.
Well, it's only 14 games into an 82-game season, so you better not be thinking that you got no
this
shot.
This is true. This
Especially
is true.
Especially with some of your key players coming back from injury in a few weeks. Kendall, you can speak, though, to what's it like in an NBA locker room when you know the odds are stacked against you. There's that natural tendency to say, oh, here we go again.
Yeah, here we go again. And, you know, you got to be careful of making that a habit, because if you do, then the whole season will be terrible. You know, you'll have your big wins here and there, but, I mean, they're few and far between. The good thing about the Bulls situation now is that, one, they're young, and, two, they know that the cavalry is coming, you know, and how good they will be when those guys get back, that's what I really want to find out, because like we talked about late in the season before, we haven't seen Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, or Lauri Markkanen in the lineup at
all. That's supposed to be your big three. You want to see them develop chemistry, and we haven't had a chance to do that.
Absolutely. So we haven't seen that. That's what I'm waiting to see. I think that that's what the Bulls fans are waiting to see. You know, they continue to have the people come out to the games. You know, the stadium is still full. So the fans believe in the future, and I believe in the future. And, you know, it's just that we got to get past this bad run of luck that we've had with injuries.
Buzzard's luck.
Yeah,
no
buzzard's
question
luck.
About it.
Yeah.
Kelly, you've been covering all the practices, all the shoot-arounds, and on Monday morning there was some video on Twitter of Lowry pushing a sled like an offensive lineman. He was driving that blocking sled, and Zach came over and kind of encouraged him at the end of that. But that got the fans' hopes up. Hey, Lowry's probably going to be back in a few days. But then Fred Hoiberg kind of threw cold water on that and said, well, it could be another 2, 3, 4 weeks. And I think that's probably – discouraging for the players and discouraging for the fan base because they really want to see Lowry after what he did as a rookie.
Yeah, first and foremost, when I put that video up, I did not think there would be the response that there was. Because it was just him going through what he has been doing now, very, as Fred calls them, very tough workouts. And I mean, that's a lot of physical right now, physically demanding. And I think about all the work he put in this summer has kind of been now, it's starting over on ground zero in terms of working up those muscles. And I think, Kendall, you can probably speak to that. Yeah. All that he did this summer to get injured like that. And now here he is starting over, trying to, you know, gain all that. And as we know, from a physicality standpoint, he's going to have to get back in and get some action done before he gets out there. But sorry, and I'll go back to that kind of with you. But yeah, Mark, I think that Fred really tried to temper the enthusiasm because we are in week six of the 6 to 8 week period, and I think it's going to be much more on the side of the 8 weeks today. But I
might
did
be 10 weeks.
It really might be, right? And no rushing back. Make sure he's fully healthy. But it wasn't just I stopped the video after Zach coming over and kind of being like, "You got this. You all right?" Yeah. I think he honestly thought he might hurl in that moment.
Really?
I thought he might too. I'm not gonna lie. That's why I stopped rolling on the video. Is I thought he might get sick. He is pushing himself that hard, which is great. But at the same time, after it was Zach, it was Ryan Arcidiacono was coming over to talk to the media. Mm. He stopped and was like, "You got this, buddy." So all of those guys out there, of course, you know, I think just seeing him on the floor doing what he's doing right now is encouraging to them as well. I mean, gosh, do they want him back? But Kendall, I mean, what is it like for a guy who's put so much work in the offseason to have this injury and feel like rehab starting over?
It's hard because everybody was touting him as the next big thing here in Chicago. Not only here in Chicago, but around the league. You know, they saw what a surprise he was last year coming in as a rookie and doing what he did. And you saw his body when he came into training camp. It's obvious that he worked hard in the weight room and on his game. And then when you get hurt, you don't have a chance to – what you thought was going to be the start of a big year is now it's gone, and you're putting on layaway, so to speak. And, you know, I think that's why he's working so hard. But, listen, he's a young guy. He's going to have a long career in front of him. I know it's disappointing now, but, you know, he's going to reach his potential. But the one thing that I don't want him to do is rush back and get re-injured. Right away,
he's only shooting the ball from 5 to 10 feet right now. Yeah. And, of course, he was one of the best shooting big men in the NBA a year ago for a 7-footer. So they want to make sure he's got the full arsenal when he comes back, that he's not favoring the arm and having more recurring pain in the elbow. When he comes back, they want him to be able to go full out. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Chris Dunn and Bobby Portis and Denzel Valentine, because the reality of it is they're not going to make the playoffs this year. Mm-hmm. They want to see what they have going forward in terms of who fits with the core group. And when these guys get back, whether it's around Christmas time or early December, there's going to be enough of the season left where I think the coaching staff and the front office can make some determinations on who's going to be a big part of this, who might be bit players, and who we can live without.
Yeah, they can evaluate everybody. And I think that, you know, people talk about, well, what is Fred's future? But you know what? You can't really judge Fred right now based on everything that he has to work with, because it means he got four of his main players out. I mean, if I'm a GM, I can't judge my head coach and how we go forward with him if he doesn't have his full deck of cards. And not until he has that can we even talk about Fred.
Kelly, you had a chance to talk to Zach LaVine after a discouraging loss because they have such a tough week ahead. They wanted to get this home court win over the Dallas Mavericks. You could see the frustration, also the fatigue. Zach played 41 minutes, didn't shoot the ball well, 8 for 23 from the field, 0 for 6 from the three-point line. And even though it's only 14 games, the weight on his shoulders to carry this offense, I think, is taking a physical toll on him and maybe a little bit of an emotional toll.
There's no doubt about it. It was interesting. Just two nights ago or Saturday night, I kind of asked him about the load he's carrying right now, and there was this enthusiasm behind it of, that's why you practice so hard in the off season, is to have these moments, and this is what I want. I want the ball in my hand. That's what great players want. That changed tonight. I felt like he was asked again about the burden of the workload, and he said tonight that he goes, "You know, I'm all right. I'm doing everything I can. I made some mistakes, missed some shots that were real easy, didn't hit any threes." And he's like, "I got easy things, the easier things I got to get better at, but definitely a different different temperament from Zach tonight. And he actually choked at one point when the windmill dunk that he had that was awesome pulled the Bulls within one actually in the game. He goes, yeah, I think I might have lost my legs on a couple jumpers after that, because he just sort of joked about it. But I mean, that was his way, I think, of trying to lighten the mood, really, because he's trying to do it all, and it's taking a toll, and someone else has to step up a little bit more, and they can't go through those stretches defensively where they go on, what was it, 25-8 runs the Dallas did, and that's just too hard for Zach to try to climb out of. Yeah.
Yeah, right now the Bulls are so shorthanded that when they go to the bench, you know, Chandler Hutchison's given him some decent minutes, but they don't really have
impressive.
A lot of options to go to. I mean, you're bringing Shaq Harrison, Antonio Blakeney, Chris Felicio. It's just not a deep bench. And when you get some of these starters back, then that strengthens the second unit as well. We talked a lot about Dallas's bench in the game Monday night. Mm-hmm. J.J. Barea had a good game with 14 points. They got contributions from Dwight Powell and Maxi Kleber. But right now the Bulls just can't compete because they're so thin.
Yeah, they can. And if you look at it, when they have all the guys back, they possibly will bring Jabari Parker off the bench.
Right.
Along with Bobby Portis, along with Archie Diakono, that's a pretty good bench, you know, and those guys can score the basketball. They can really play. Now, I will put those guys up against Dallas's bench any day when we're healthy.
Sure.
You know, and that's the thing, they don't have enough horse to win the race right now, and that's all. That's what it is, you know. And coaches, a guy stopped me on the. I was actually walking my dogs yesterday, and the guy was going to the Bears game, and he's like, "Hey, Kendall, we need all of our players back." I was like, "Yo, Rev, really?
He thinks I'm gonna bring that one. I'm gonna tomorrow.
I'm gonna use that. Absolutely, we need all of our players back, you know. And then you will see the true. The character of this basketball team.
I think it hurt at a couple guys, too, got in foul trouble tonight. You know, you've only got so many, like you're talking about, when Wendell Carter Jr. and Parker get in foul trouble, you're strapped. You gotta be mixing, like you said, Fred, combinations that you don't really want to be mixing.
And that is key to this Bulls team. Wendell has to learn how to not get cheap fouls because he is so important to the defense.
Yeah.
And when he got in the foul trouble, it seemed like those guys were like, okay, their defensive guy's out. Now we're just going to attack them. And I think that was a big reason why they went on that 13-0 run in the beginning of the second quarter. You know, they just had no defensive anchor back there.
Your Bulls, your way, anywhere, anytime. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Stream games and get the best Bulls coverage in Chicago at your fingertips. Download the My Teams app today.
You're listening to the Bulls Talk Podcast. Mark Schanowski, Kendall Gill, Kelly Krall, kind enough to join us tonight. We appreciate it very much.
Pleasure to be here.
I think the fans would be interesting. This isn't your first go-around covering an NBA team. You covered the Oklahoma City Thunder with the trio of Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. Mm-hmm. Got any stories from those days?
So many stories. And it's crazy to think that was 7 years ago now.
Wow.
Or 6 years ago to be doing baseball in that window in between, and now to come back. How much the league has changed, really, and just the, you know, I think about what we watch out here every night. Well, I shouldn't say no defense, but that's where I was going. No defense. Nothing. The Thunder played a lot of defense, but I was so spoiled to see those three guys, you know, run the floor and in transition. Russell has always been just so great at that, and I mean, three MVPs on one team, and I remember the guy, the veteran they brought in that was supposed to kind of be that guy that, well, Kendrick Perkins from Boston, and I actually remember towards the end of my last year there when they went to the finals against the Heat. Him knowing, or everyone kind of knowing, James Harden was on his way out, him looking at me and saying, these guys, they might regret, and they probably will regret not making this work one day. And I'd be curious to know if that's true. If you ever got them to admit it, would they admit it? I know they won't, but I don't know if they would regret. I mean, because they would have been the first really big three superstars, right? They would have probably created that. I mean, that's where the league's gone anyway, but they could have been on the front end of that.
Did you sense any kind of jealousy or insecurity with those three guys? Were they kind of looking at each other, even in terms of looking at box scores, who got the most shots?
You know, that's an interesting question, because keep in mind, anyone who's listening, going back 6 years, all these guys were, they were the age of these Bulls players right now, right? Yeah. They were just 20, 21 years old, babies. And so, yeah, I think there, of course, was insecurities then. I don't think they knew exactly who they were as men yet, much less players in the NBA, and they were all trying to get theirs.
Right.
I mean, that's the truth of it.
That's what young players do, though. I talk about this all the time with Mark. The same thing happened in Charlotte when I was there with myself, Alonzo Mourning, and Larry Johnson.
Sure. You know, we
had a great thing, and we didn't know we had a great thing, and all of us were trying to get our numbers, and unfortunately, we were never able to see what could have happened. You know, we can admit that now that we're 50 years old, but back then, no. You would never say that.
So I'll be curious when those guys are 50 if they'll look back and say that at some point. But
you mean to say they'll be sitting, you know, how Shaq and Kobe now talk to each other on the documentaries, and they say, "Well, I was mad at you, and you were mad at me." Maybe they'll do one of those one day.
I'm so curious because now that you've said that, how did free agency change the perception between you three? Because I know when Kevin left, the way Russell Westbrook handled that, I don't want to say handled it, but the way it was taken by him was a personal thing, and I think he took it personal that Kevin decided to leave in a way, and it very much rubbed him wrong. I mean, everybody's heard the stories at this point.
Yeah,
but
it rubbed my teammates the wrong way too. You know, they felt that, listen, he should just re-sign here. He knows that this is the place for him. Why even go out there and entertain other teams? And it's sort of like, you got this girlfriend, but you're going out there trying to date other people, you know.
I love your analogies.
I mean,
Kendall always goes back to that.
I love these analogies.
That's the way it was.
I hear you. Totally get this.
And I can't blame those guys for being upset with me.
Sure.
You know, I would have been upset too. You know, but you know, really, I really liked my girlfriend, and I really didn't want to go over here to this girl. You know,
of course, you got to be careful with that in the NBA, because you remember what happened in Dallas with Jimmy Jackson.
Yeah, with
Jason
Jimmy Jackson
Kidd
and all those guys. Yeah, but see, I played with fire, Kelly, and I got burned. I really didn't want to go to Seattle. I wanted to go back to Charlotte, but unfortunately, you know, that's what happens when you know.
You live and learn. You live and learn, right? So I do.
It always goes back there.
Oh,
with Kendall, you know?
This will not be any girlfriends, but I think this is a fun story, and I love telling this one when you ask about any good stories. This is my Kevin Durant story that I don't think anyone knows, and I'm sure a lot has changed. Again, it's been quite a while, but Kevin Durant was not a good flyer. Okay, and there's a lot of flying, right, for these guys night in and night out.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma City, for those that don't know, we get severe weather often, so flying in and out of Oklahoma City can be very jarring. There's a lot of turbulence because of the wind and severe weather. And numerous times coming in, we'd have to circle once, twice, even a couple times had to land in Dallas and wait an hour before we could finally get into Oklahoma City. Mm. But I remember on the team plane that I would fly with the team as the TV crew would. We're getting really bad turbulence. Kevin had stood up to use the restroom. He's coming back from the restroom. And I just happen to be sitting in an aisle seat, and he gets this, you know, 7-footer, kneels down in the middle of the aisle, kind of grabs my hand and says, "Kelly, we gotta pray. We gotta pray, Kelly." He was very into his faith at that time in his career, and he goes, "We gotta pray." And I will never forget that, because there was this moment where I'm thinking, "Holy crap, Kevin Durant's holding my hand wanting to pray right now." I'll never forget this.
Yeah.
Like this big, you know, this big guy who's larger than life, and you're the protector here. Why are you looking to me right now? You know, but those are the moments, you know, I think I'll remember more than anything.
You know, KG, that shows you that in times of need, NBA players will even look to a member of the media for reassurance.
True.
And now Kevin can't stand the media.
Yeah, now he can't stand the media, man. You know, but listen, all NBA,
we threw up some good prayers, though, together.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, NBA players have all kind of quirks. You know, I remember Kevin Durant, you know, when in the Target Center, he used to have to take a shower.
Kevin Garnett?
I mean, I'm sorry. We just got done talking about Kevin Durant. But Kevin Garnett used to have to take a shower in the same stall during practice. But then for the games, he'd have to take a shower in a different stall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was just totally weird to me. I mean, and if somebody was in that stall, he would wait to take a shower.
And if it was a rookie, he'd be in trouble.
Oh, if it was a rookie, yeah, you know.
Yeah, well,
I always liked the hotels that guys wouldn't stay at, right? Like the Skirvin in Milwaukee.
Yeah, yeah,
or the
stay there.
Now, were
yeah.
you a haunted guy?
No,
did you
I'm
believe
not.
In that? Okay.
I won number 13.
The Pfister in Milwaukee.
The Pfister, I'm sorry. Yeah. The Skirvin's in Oklahoma City. And that's where I remember Kendrick Perkins saying, as a Boston member, he wouldn't stay there, right? And he's like, that's when he came to Oklahoma City. He goes, thank God I don't have to stay in that place anymore. Because he would go find another hotel.
Yeah.
And I just always laughed.
Some guys are quirky like that.
They are.
You know? Yeah.
Well, before I wrap things up, Kelly's going to be traveling to Boston. What kind of insights are you going to bring us from the TD Garden on Wednesday night?
Well, we'll see. I mean, because what a week. These guys were just asked about, let's see, they go from the Celtics to Milwaukee to Toronto coming home. So, yeah, they clearly wanted this one against Dallas before heading into that week. But Zach dropped it towards the very end of talking to the media. He goes, that's a damn good Celtic team. And he's right. We will see when we get out there, you know, what these guys. But they're sure to get amped up. It's Boston.
Right.
It's a great team. It's a, what's that going to be, a Wednesday night game?
Yeah.
I have to count my days here because I get lost during the schedule. Wednesday night game, yeah, it's going to be an awesome environment. And we'll see what these guys can put together.
I got an idea for you.
Okay, please.
You get to the team hotel, gather all the young guys, kneel down in the
lobby.
Pray as hard as you've ever prayed in your life, Kelly Crowe.
I've had a lot of practice, and I would love to that challenge. Yeah. I would love to see.
That will help.
See what we can do, right?
Yeah.
Hey, we landed safely that night in Oklahoma City, okay?
There you go,
brought it on in. Well, Kelly, it's been an absolute pleasure to have
Thanks
you with us
me.
Here on the Bulls Talk Podcast, presented by Coors Light. Safe travels to Boston.
Thank you.
No turbulence, and we will talk to you on the pregame show and look forward to all
Sounds
your coverage
good.
In Boston. KG, good job. We thought we'd get a win Monday night.
We thought we would.
Maybe they can steal one of those three somewhere.
You never know.
Somehow,
stranger things have happened.
All right. You can find all of our shows at NBCSportsChicago.com/podcast. You can also listen and subscribe at Stitcher, Google, and Apple. So long, everybody.